This piece was brought to you by White Oak Pastures, whiteoakpastures.com, heritageradionetwork.org.
This is the news.
There is a long and storied history of discrimination against black farmers by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Since the time of Reconstruction, after the Civil War, black farmers have experienced discrimination on several levels, such as access to capital, protection of land, and equal access to cooperative extension services designed to support farmers. Even after the civil rights era of the 1960s, black farmers continued to face discriminatory acts as a result of the way USDA policies were implemented. They were denied loans and assistance that non-minority farmers were approved for. Complaints from black farmers went unheard and were even suppressed. In 1983, President Reagan shut down the Civil Rights Department within the USDA. But black farmers continued to voice their grievances. President Clinton's administration acknowledged these injustices, but still, nothing was done. In 1997, black farmers in the United States filed suit against the USDA for discrimination. The filed suit became a class action lawsuit known as Pigford v. Glickman. Over the past 150 years, black farmers have experienced not only systemic discrimination, but a significant loss of land. This has led to generational setbacks amongst black Americans who have been torn from the land their ancestors toiled and cared for as slaves. Black land ownership was at its highest around the year 1920, with black Americans owning 14% of farms in the U.S. By 1997, there were only 18,000 black-owned farms remaining, accounting for less than 1% of all farms, many struggling to survive. Andre Richardson, a farmer from North Carolina, shares his experience.
I don't have land. I lease about 400 acres, but I don't own that. So consequently, my kids cannot farm because they don't have any land established to farm on. It's all lease because they were giving us money to buy equipment and not land. They knew exactly what they were doing. And I even asked him, I said, well, how do you, and he's like, I said, 20 years old. Well, Andre, they gave me my checks. I don't have to go down there. Well, I had to go down there, and it's so degraded. They had to write my own check out. And I said, I found this farm I wanted to buy. Well, we don't loan money to buy farms. But the whole while, they were giving other guys, white guys, money to buy farms and stuff. I had to go down there and say, Mr. Ross, I'd like to get, let's say, $50 to pay my fuel bill. When is it due? They talk to you like you dirt. Yeah. Yeah, here you go. Come back again. Well, I'd like to get another $100 from a fertilizer. Now, it's very demeaning. You got a business. You got to go to somebody else to write you a check. But the white guys didn't have to do that. He told me one day, we had a kind of heated argument. I said, I want a farm. Came in one day, he said, Andre, say, you're on your feet now. We're going to let you go. They shoved me over to a bank. When you go to the bank, interest rate jumped from 3% to 9%.
In the late 1990s, black farmers started protests against the institutionalized discrimination within the USDA. They picketed in front of government buildings in Washington, D.C., demanding a meeting with the then Secretary of Agriculture, Daniel Glickman. Andre Richardson was a part of the meeting with Secretary Glickman.
We went home that day. The next day, held a sign. A representative from Dan Glickman came out and said, you all want to meet the Secretary of Agriculture? He said, yes. Got a meeting with him. But you know, the thing about it, he didn't understand why we were doing it. He said, the discrimination really that bad?
In 1999, a consent decree was approved, and two tracks were established for black farmers to seek restitution. Track A was a straight-out $50,000 monetary settlement per farmer. Track B was a way for farmers to seek a larger settlement, showing significant damages by a preponderance of the evidence. Track B was a way for farmers to seek a larger settlement, showing significant damages by a preponderance of the evidence. Yet even after the USDA admitted fault, black farmers still faced troubles. While waiting for the suit to be resolved and monies to be dispersed, many farmers went into foreclosure or needed to file for bankruptcy, just as many did previously before the suit was filed while waiting on assistance from the USDA, only to be denied or to have help arrive too late. Amos N. Jones, an attorney and professor at Campbell University School of Law, gives further detail.
At every turn, race discrimination infects the process. From the time that the discrimination starts until even the disbursement of settlement funds, even the federal government itself will drag its feet. Former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney has disclosed at a lecture at the University of the District of Columbia Law School in the last year or so that the black farmers waiting to get their settlement money processed, number of them have gone into accelerated foreclosure, where there's a racist effort to take their land, many of them being punished because they have the temerity to rise up and fight back and win. That just creates a whole other matrix of racial animus that causes yet another violation of the decrees not being properly processed by the same people who were overseeing the discrimination program in the first place, the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And it's a scandal, but I'm sorry to say, I must tell you the truth as a scholar, it's par for the course.
After the civil rights movement, many other federal agencies made changes to avoid discriminatory practices. Sadly, the USDA has yet to revise its policies to avoid discrimination from taking place again. Adrian Petty, a professor of history at City College, City University of New York, explains.
Yeah, I just think that the discrimination serves a purpose, you know, so that the resources that they're not directing toward black farmers are going somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom line.
For HeritageRadioNetwork.org, I'm Janelle Hobson.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. The song used in this piece is No Sleep by Space Ghost. Thanks for listening.